Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levin on the Leslie Marshall Network.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Well, they did it. Or they seem to have done it, or they claim to have done it. Iran and the United States have reached a deal, an agreement of some sort to reduce Iran's nuclear weapons, the uranium, the centrifuges, the threshold. Is this deal the prelude to peace, the prelude to ending the threat of nuclear Iran, the prelude to stopping Iranian terrorism all over the globe, the prelude to maybe even bringing democracy there? Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's ask a more basic question. Is it a good deal? President Obama says this is a good deal. Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel says this is not a good deal. John Kerry, many Democrats say it's a good deal. Many Republicans say it's not. What is it? Is it a good deal? Is it a bad deal? Or maybe the better question is it the best deal we could have gotten? And what are the alternatives? Maybe that's a fairer, more realistic question. In this hour, I want to go over the terms of the deal. And if it sounds like I'm ambivalent about it, the answer is I am. I'm not going to proclaim wholeheartedly this is a fantastic, wonderful, perfect deal. I don't think it is. Nor am I going to claim that this is a bad deal or this is a dangerous deal. I don't think it is. In fact, I actually think that not only is the devil in the details, which we'll go over, but really we won't know till 10 years from now whether or not this was a good deal. It also depends on things that are going to happen 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 20, 30 years down the road that I can't predict. So whereas normally I come on the show and I express a very strong opinion of things, I say they're good or they're bad or they're ugly, this deal has all three. It's got a lot of good. And I got to give John Kerry and President Obama credit for going farther than many thought they would in terms of the amount of uranium being reduced, in terms of the verification procedures, in terms of whether or not they actually going to prevent Iran from having at least a one-year breakout time to build a nuclear weapon. But there's lots of bad, too. There's nothing in there about continued Iranian terrorism and mass murder all around the globe. Remember, Iran finances the dictator Assad in Syria, who has murdered 200,000 people. Remember when we came on the show when we said it was 3,000, then 5,000, then 50,000, 100,000? He's murdered 200,000 people, and mark my words, at this time next year, another 100,000 innocent people will be dead. Now, I obviously hope and pray that the prediction I just made does not come true. Though I should tell you this, last year at this time, there were 100,000 dead. And I said, mark my words, there'll be 200,000 dead by now. And unfortunately, horribly, tragically, my prediction became true. Iran's behind all of this. Iran's behind a lot of the murders in Yemen. Now, to be fair, in Yemen, they're fighting, and in Syria and Iraq to some extent, they're fighting Al-Qaeda. They're fighting Al-Nusra, which is an offshoot of Al-Qaeda. They're fighting ISIS. So there's some really bad people fighting some really bad people. But that doesn't change the fact that the Iranian regime is pretty bad. And remember when the people there tried to overthrow it, I was critical of Barack Obama for not supporting the Green Revolution in Iran. I also want to be very clear at all times when I discuss Iran that I'm talking about the Iranian government. The Persian people have a long and storied history, a history of intellectual achievements, a history, a great culture. Frankly, prior to Islam, they were the center of Zoroastrian religion. The Persian Empire was one of the great empires, and I should say that Persian people, particularly Persian Americans, and this is important if you meet an Iranian or Persian American, they tend to be some of the most pro-American, pro-Israel, anti-mullah people on the planet, for good reason. They left Iran or were forced out of Iran. They're here in America precisely because they don't agree with the theocracy of the Iranian government. So please, please be very clear. When I talk about Iran, I'm specifically mentioning the theological dictatorship that controls the country. Not ordinary Iranians, not ordinary Persian people, and definitely not Persian Americans or Iranian Americans, who I understand are extremely patriotic to this country and are extremely unhappy with the government in Iran. You should never let the genuine and, I think, rational fear of the Iranian regime cause you to in any way oppose Iranian people. Always, always, always make that distinction. But I want to go through the terms of the deal because I like a lot of it and I dislike a lot of it. And that's the problem. And I want to hear from you as to what you think. This may be the best deal we could have gotten. And if that's true, then obviously it was a good deal. But is it the best deal we could have gotten? Part of the problem is the deal's not done yet. This was a framework for a deal that will be completed by the end of June. And the details matter. And it was a little bit disheartening that while the United States released some 43 points of the framework, Iran didn't release much of anything. It made me wonder, did they have the same deal we did? Did they sign on the dotted line? Can I see that signature? Can I see the document in English and Farsi? Because the deal's not done yet, and I wouldn't want come June there to be a big dispute over what this original deal meant. Part of the problem is I would never want our president, Barack Obama, and the American negotiators and John Kerry to be seen as wanting this deal more than the Iranians. And this just isn't just a matter of symbolism. This isn't just a matter of how it looks. How it looks matters because it affects the negotiation. Iran has to understand that we can walk away from this deal, that we can continue the sanctions, which have really damaged the Iranian economy, and we can even, if necessary, maintain the military option. Now, I also want to be clear, because people have accused me of wanting the military option. I want to be clear, very clear. I do not want a military option. It is always, always, always better to get peace through agreement than through force. But I'm not a pacifist, and I also recognize that agreements made because force is seen as unimaginable are often bad agreements. And we can look through history to find a number of those. Probably the most famous, obviously, is Neville Chamberlain's agreement with Adolf Hitler at Munich, where he dismembered Czechoslovakia, and then Hitler broke the agreement and went beyond anyway. And this is the heart of my fear. We're going to get to the specifics of this deal, but the heart of my fear is not the dimensions of this agreement per se. That's not the heart of my fear. I actually think if Iran keeps this agreement, and President Obama has insisted there's going to be extremely stringent verification measures, I think if they keep this agreement, it's not a bad deal. Here's what I think is going to happen, though. I sincerely believe this is going to happen. I fear this is going to happen. I think Iran will keep the agreement for a year, for 2 years, maybe 4 years. And then, quietly, secretly, maybe in the middle of some mountain, remember, they have a nuclear facility in the middle of a mountain at Fordro near the holy city of Qom. They probably have that because, one, it's near a holy city. They never thought we'd bomb there. Think about any theocracy that purposely puts nuclear materials near a holy city because they know that we protect their shrines more than they do themselves. It'll tell you something about the Iranian government. And the fact it was hidden inside a mountain. So they're going to stop at Fordro and supposedly convert it to a peaceful site. Terrific. And I hope the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, truly can do unfettered inspections whenever they want, secret ones, surprise ones, go all anywhere and everywhere. Apparently that's what this deal says they can do. But there are many mountains in Iran. There are many holy cities. Would it be that hard for them to dig underground and establish a new one, particularly using the technologies they have already learned? Why couldn't they simply move some of these centrifuges and start over again? I guess one of the answers is, well, it'll be under lock and seal. Though they haven't exactly said where these centrifuges would go. Two-thirds are going away, and that's good. That's important. And they're restricting them to centrifuges of the first generation. If you will, the Model Ts of nuclear centrifuges. That's good. They're not as good as the more recent ones. And most importantly, they're reducing the weapons-grade uranium from 10,000 kilograms to 300 kilograms. 97% reduction. That's pretty damn good. But where is this uranium going? Is it going to go to a third country? Iran has not promised that. And what if it's put under lock and key under the IAEA? And then they break the lock and take the uranium. Here what I fear is the scenario. And it relates exactly to a state that did exactly this. And that state's called North Korea. In the early 1990s, Bill Clinton has signed a terrific deal. Everyone thought it was a terrific deal. I thought it was a terrific deal with North Korea. Oh, they blackmailed us and they got some food aid. And please be clear, the North Korean government is one of the most vicious, totalitarian, evil regimes on planet Earth. If you've ever studied the North Korean prison camps or the people that are born and die in those camps and the brutality and poverty of North Korea, you'll know that I do not mince words when I describe them as one of the most evil places on Earth. And yet we made a deal with this evil monstrosity. And to Bill Clinton's credit, the entire time Clinton was president, North Korea did not develop nuclear weapons. The IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, was there. They were watching everything very carefully. North Korea may have helped Pakistan or Iran build nukes, but they didn't build them themselves. And then came September 11th. No, North Korea had nothing to do with September 11th. But they saw that our attention was diverted. And with a war in Afghanistan and yet another war in Iraq, North Korea figured, accurately, we didn't dare fight three wars at once. They kicked out the inspectors, and bingo, within a year, they had a nuclear bomb that they still have today, that they may be selling to the highest bidder, including terrorist groups. It's very scary. And that doesn't necessarily mean that Bill Clinton's deal was bad in the 1990s, but sanctions were removed. And remember, if sanctions are removed from Iran, they will have more power, more money, better economy. Sanctions were removed. North Korea played good for many years. And then our attention was diverted, and then they broke the deal, and now they're saying, ha ha, we got you. That, in essence, is my fear for this Iran deal. Not so much the deal we have now on the table, which I think is a pretty good one, but what may happen down the road. In any case, I want to hear your views. Give me a call. 888-653-7543. This is Mark Levine. What do you think of this Iran deal? Good, bad, ugly, or, in my opinion, all three. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. If you want to call in, it's 888-653-7543. There are no calls. Now, that's unusual for our audience here. Usually, y'all get involved very quickly. And I dare say one of the reasons why there aren't many calls, although I encourage them, is because this stuff is awfully technical. And it's confusing. And it's detailed. And the details matter. And unless you're a nuclear scientist, you probably don't know any more about it than I do. And I can't claim in any ways to be an expert. This is tough stuff. This is a detailed, oriented negotiation over something that could well affect our national security, but may well be necessary to prevent a terrible military action. So let me say this. I don't know that President Obama couldn't have done better. I don't know that. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's true. Maybe the Republicans or Prime Minister Netanyahu think he could have done better. I don't know if he could have or not. It seems like it's a decent deal if it's kept. And there are some very strong verification measures, including the fact that the IAEA can basically go anywhere, anytime. Or at least that's how the administration is selling it. We don't have a bottom line. It hasn't been done yet. It hasn't been done till June. Now, one of the things I like about part of the agreement is the idea that the sanctions won't be lifted until the IAEA verifies that Iran's cooperating. And let me add that I strongly believe that Iran will cooperate in 2015, probably in 2016, probably as long as President Obama is president. I actually think they'll cooperate. I think the IAEA will certify that cooperation. I think that'll be honest verification, and I think the sanctions will be lifted. My fear is not the next 2 years, but 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020, when some event happens and we take our eye off the ball and the lesson of North Korea is clear. You see, once you lift sanctions, they're really hard to put back on. They take time to implement. It takes time to get all the world to agree. And even once you do, well, they can unagree. In fact, under the United Nations resolutions, the entire world community came together, Security Council resolution, which is supposed to be binding, saying that Iran cannot have any nuclear enrichment. The United States actually just violated international law because we said, well, not just us. So I guess given that the other five permanent members, Britain and France and Russia and China and, well, Germany as well, they're not a permanent member, but they were in this negotiation. I guess if we all agree to lift the Security Council resolution, it may not be done formally, but in essence, it would have been done. So maybe it's a technical breach of international law. But the point is, allowing Iran to have any kind of nuclear enrichment is a backpedaling from where the UN was before. And yet, maybe this really is cosmetic. Maybe Iran really does care about the principle of nuclear enrichment just to convince their people that they're not backing down. Maybe. But then why 5,000 centrifuges? Why not 10 centrifuges? You know, why 300 kilograms of uranium? Why not 1 kilogram? Why not give up the uranium and centrifuges to a third country? I don't know. Will this work? I don't know. I just say Barack Obama doesn't know. And that's the part that's scary. And yet we'll always have incomplete information. Should that prevent us from doing a deal at all? I say not. But I still worry. Maybe that's part of my nature. What do you think about the deal? Is it a good deal? Is it the best we could have gotten? Were there better alternatives? 888-653-7543. Welcome back to The Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Call in at 888-653-7543. What do you think of the Iranian deal? You know, in a lot of times in public policy, and nowhere more than this Iranian deal, the two sides to an agreement pretend that their side has all the answers. In this case, for the Democrats, it's all white. It's all good news. This is the right deal. This is the way to go. This is the best we could have gotten. And for Republicans, it's all black. It's all bad. It's all bad news. This is the worst possible thing. Iran's going to get nukes and destroy the world. I'm arguing it's gray. It's neither black nor white. It's a mixture of the two. And that's something I do a lot. I'm a firm believer that first you should figure out what you believe on an issue. You should read all the details of it, understand it, make up your mind, and then find out who your allies are. That's, frankly, the only way to come to a position with integrity. Now, that doesn't mean your allies can't convince you. You got a good friend, you trust that friend, they may make some arguments that persuade you. That's all well and good, and you should listen to your friends, and even listen to your opponents. They may have some good points, too. So I'm not saying, oh, I love this deal because Obama did it, and I hate this deal because I'm a Republican. I'm saying the deal has good elements and bad elements to it. And it may be the best deal we could have gotten. I don't know. 2/3 of working centrifuges are going away, from 19,000 down to 6,000. That's pretty damn good. But Iran had only 3,000 in 2008. By that score, it's bad. According to the United States, they have reduced the time frame whereby Iran could get a nuclear bomb from 2 to 3 months to over a year. That's terrific. That's absolutely good news, if it's true, if they're not doing something in secret. But the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, can go anywhere, anytime. That's new. That's good. But what if they miss something? Iran is twice the size of Texas. Can't they hide in some mountain somewhere else? The nuclear material, the weapons-grade uranium, is going down from 10,000 kilograms to 300 kilograms. 97% reduction of things that can go in bombs. That's incredible. That's terrific. But where's it going? It doesn't say. Will it be under lock and key in Iran, and they could change their minds anytime they want? Or will it go to a third country? No production will exceed 3.67%, that's the amount you use in basically an energy plant, for 15 years. Well, that's good. The bomb needs about 90%, and they've gotten to 20%. All of that will be destroyed, but what about after 15 years? What about the continued terrorism that Iran does outside of its nuclear program? You know, there are sanctions for the nuclear program. Those will go away. That's what Iran wants. But I hope we keep the other sanctions, because Iran is still causing the deaths of hundreds of thousands of people in Syria, in Iraq, in Lebanon, and in Yemen. We can't say that Iran's suddenly a good guy any more than we could say that North Korea was suddenly a good guy when Bill Clinton signed a deal with them. Frankly, I appreciate the bad cops out there. Obama's the good cop. We all know good cop, bad cop, right? The good cop goes in there and is very nice and friendly, and the bad cop threatens all kinds of awful things, and between them, they get the prisoner to confess. Well, Obama's a good cop. The sanctions are going to go. Iran's going to find its way to the family of nations. I appreciate the good cop. Without it, we might be at war. But I appreciate the bad cops, too, in this case. Oftentimes, I'm criticizing Republicans as having no agenda other than to destroy Obama. And maybe that's their case here. But to the extent that the Republicans, to the extent that Prime Minister Netanyahu allows our negotiators to stiffen their spine and get a better deal, then here's to the bad cops as well. What do you think? 888-653-7543. Let's go to Kevin in Santa Fe. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good. I think this is a great deal, and it averts World War III. Iran is a satellite of Russia and is supported by Putin, and we really do not want any kind of a war or bombing going on there. Parts that I like about this deal have to do with the 5,000 centrifuges they keep being the older, slower kind.
That's true.
The process is to keep them from having a breakout period to get to a bomb. And I think that Mr. Obama has done wonderful at that. I researched what happened in Korea because I was thinking, didn't W screw that one up?
He did.
Clinton did have a deal.
Yes.
And what happened is when Bush Bush did not negotiate and treated them wrong. I forget whether it was.
Well, I don't think it's Bush treating them wrong. No, no, wait. I'm going to be clear about what happened in North Korea because I was working in government at the time. I watched that very closely. Bush didn't treat them wrong. North Korea is an evil, despotic, horrific regime. What happened is Bill Clinton kept close watch on them, much like you would keep careful watch on a man-eating lion in a cage.
No disrespect to lions. After his speech where he called them the Axis, part of the Axis.
That's not why they developed nuclear weapons. No, you're right, he did. He insulted them.
But that's the time period of like, okay,
yes.
That's how you're going to act.
Here's my view.
They broke the lock, they turned off the camera.
Right, right. I mean, I'm going to criticize George Bush as well. But in my view, the North Koreans weren't insulted and therefore developed nuclear weapons. In my view, they saw that George Bush was preoccupied by other things, namely Afghanistan and Iraq, and then they broke the seals and made the weapons. Either way, it's George Bush's fault. I don't think a whole country acts because their leader's insulted so much as they act because they realize that logically, intelligently, that was the right time to move. You know, you move when your enemy's preoccupied, so again, I blame Bush, as do you. We would just have maybe slightly different views as to North Korea.
Well, I think objectively that there are times when the hello.
Yeah, no, you're on the air. I'm listening.
Okay, I think that there are times when America did not meet up to their agreement with both of these situations.
In North
and
Korea?
And I think that Obama has gotten us an agreement that we can live up to and that will do what we want it to do, which is prevent them from starting an arms race in the Middle East.
Well,
here's the thing.
I think we kept the North Korean agreement. If you have any evidence that we broke it, let me know or look it up and call back or write it on my website. I don't believe we broke that agreement. I think that was one way. That was North Korea. And by the way, I'm not saying this is a bad deal. I'm saying that it may be the best deal we could have gotten. And I just my concern really is not the next 2 years. Because I think Iran's going to keep the agreement as long as Obama's president. My concern is exactly what happened in North Korea. North Korea kept the agreement as long as Clinton was president. You know, but we may have another president. We may have a Republican president who doesn't keep his or her eye on the ball. I guess I should say his because there are no women running for the Republican nomination. But my concern is that once sanctions are gone, I mean, President Obama says they can snap back the moment Iran violates the IAEA. I'm not so sure how easy it is to snap back sanctions, particularly as they're sort of a worldwide thing that takes time. Sanctions aren't immediate pain. They cause pain over time. So I'm skeptical of this. All that being said, I'm not saying it's a bad deal. It may be the best deal we could have gotten. I just want to express the skepticism. I don't want 10 years from now someone to say, Mark Levine, you were Pollyannish and you thought this was the best thing since sliced bread. I think it's a very careful, difficult thing that the president has done.
I think to say it's not as good as it can be is to make the perfect the enemy of the good.
Maybe so. Maybe so. And I'm not disputing that. And I don't know that we could have gotten better. I don't know. I do know this, though. They're continuing their nuclear work and knowledge. They're going to keep these, yes, old centrifuges. But, you know, knowledge is hard to contain. And I wonder how much more, I mean, they're going to work on this. Let me give you an example of something I think is critical in June. And this will probably determine my overall feeling about the deal that I'm still unsure about, leaning toward liking, but I'm still unsure about. What's critical is looking at their past activities and their supply chain. Let me explain what I mean. It's vital that we be able to trace every atom, certainly every kilogram of uranium. We need to know where it came from, where it went. We need to watch and know where all of it's going. Because if you misplace some uranium, that would make me very, very concerned. And that means they don't just have to say where things are now, but where they've been. How did they come from some other place that could recreate that's not included in this agreement? It's all going to – now, I like the IAEA. I think they're pretty good at their job. I think that they can verify pretty well. My concern is that stuff will be entirely hidden in some 4th, 6th, 12th location in some mountain that we have no idea even has a nuclear facility. And I hope that our spies and our satellites can determine that. We determine these, so maybe we really are that good and we really can find it. But I'm nervous, and I'm nervous precisely because of what happened in North Korea. Is that fair for me to be nervous?
We need to keep good relations open so that we continue to get trace minerals of rare earth minerals that power these reactive devices. I don't know if you read the article a couple years ago about the trace mineral they use in the detection equipment being mined only in China. This is why we in America need to reopen our rare earth minerals mining capabilities in places like California and the West.
To the extent that they're necessary for national security, I have no problem with that.
How complex this is.
But it is complex. And one of the things that also is important is not just nuclear material per se, but Iran has done research in detonating devices. A nuclear material by itself doesn't do anything. You gotta set it on fire with a small explosion that sets off the larger chain reaction. I want all that disclosed. I want their missile technology disclosed. I want how they fit the nuclear warhead in the tip of the missile, all of that disclosed. I want to watch them carefully because I don't trust them, and I don't think Obama trusts them. And the heart of the issue, and I want to make this very clear because I've heard way too much criticism of President Obama and, as far as I'm concerned, way too much criticism of Israel. I think that everyone needs to recognize that President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu, for all the fact they dislike each other personally, they agree on the goal. They disagree on how to get there. They both agree Iran is a threat. And they both agree Iran shouldn't have nuclear weapons. Now, Obama thinks this deal is the best way to lessen the threat and to prevent the nuclear weapons. Netanyahu thinks that this is not the best way. But I just want to be very, very clear here. They agree on the goal. They differ only on strategy, and that's fair. That's pretty fair.
Using as an example the aluminum tubes that Saddam Hussein was importing.
By the way, I think I hear myself in the background. Can you turn down your radio or your computer? Thank you.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Using an example, the aluminum tubes that was said over and over again that Saddam Hussein was using for centrifuges were actually for rockets.
That's exactly right.
And it was a totally different thing. To me, the right wing, all of these people naysaying this deal have a history of lying.
No question. No question they have a history of lying. No question that George Bush and Dick Cheney's lies about weapons of mass destruction are one of the reasons that liberals are so skeptical now. But let me also say this. No one disputes that Iran is developing the most dangerous weapon of mass destruction, that is nuclear weapons, not biological, not chemical. This isn't a case where we're not sure whether they have it or not. They have it. They've admitted to having it. Barack Obama will tell you they have it. In fact, he's working to lessen it. So I want to be very, very clear. Most Americans were willing to go to war in Iraq because most Americans believed that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction. I opposed the war, but most Americans supported the war. And when we found out that Iraq did not have WMDs, that's when most Americans turned against the war. So I want to be very clear here that Iran does have WMDs. That is undisputed. And that's a real difference between this situation and what happened in Iraq. Now, that doesn't mean I think we should go bombing them, but it does mean that we need to take this agreement and Iran very seriously, because unlike Iraq, Iran does pose a threat. And I just want to be very clear about that, because I think sometimes people conflate the two, and as awful and stupid the war in Iraq was, Saddam Hussein was no threat to the United States whatsoever, and Iran is, unless we do something. Is that fair?
I would disagree with that. All along, the Iranian regime has said their intent is peaceful nuclear.
North Korea says the same.
Nuclear use. Their program was started by us during the Shah's time.
Well,
they
not a weapons program.
Refined uranium from the Atoms for Peace program.
Yeah, that wasn't a weapons program. That was a nuclear
energy. Right, and you know, we've been over the refining thing, they're capped at 3.7%.
Right.
You've talked about how getting from 20 to 90 is much easier than getting to 20. I understand all that.
Right.
It's just that I don't know who the information comes from. Netanyahu has been proven to be a liar as well, in that, you know, he has said for 20 years that they're 6 months away.
It's hard to know. You know, the interim deal actually prevented them probably from getting this close to a deal. So one of the things that seems to have come out is that the Syrian plant that Israel destroyed in 2010 was likely built by Iran. So they may have been set back by that. But in any case, I don't think we're that far apart. Kevin, I agree that it's probably a good deal, but I want to see the details. And I'm nervous, more nervous about the future, frankly, than I am about the next 2 or 3 years. I got to take a break. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 888-653-7543. Thank you, Kevin, for your call. This is Mark Levine. I'll be right back right after this. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Levine giving you the inside scoop from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C., talking about this Iran deal. And the devil is in the details. We won't know exactly what the details will be until June. There's some real good stuff in here. It may be the best deal that could have been reached for 10 or 15 or 25 years, depending on which parameters there are. Iran will be prevented from developing nuclear weapons if this is verified. And yet, Iran will continue its research on its most sophisticated models so that it'll be raring to go the moment the 10, 15, 25-year time limits expire. That's not good. What are we going to do then? More sanctions, perhaps? The American people are really wise about this. A recent Washington Post poll found that 59% of respondents support a diplomatic deal loosening Iranian sanctions in return for restrictions on Iran's nuclear program. I'm in that 59%. But 59% of the American people said they are not confident that a diplomatic pact will keep Iran from developing nuclear weapons. Count me in that 59%. I want a deal, but I'm not confident Iran will keep it. So basically, 41% of Americans want a deal and think Iran will keep it. 41% of Americans don't want a deal and don't think Iran will keep it. I'm right there smack in the middle of the 18% that say, yeah, I want a deal, but I'm not confident they'll keep it. So I want Obama to show me confidence, to show me verification, to show me they're watching this very carefully. I think the Clinton-North Korea deal was a good one. And I think the moment George Bush took his eye off the ball, North Korea got nuclear weapons. And frankly, is almost certainly the source of Iran's current nuclear technology. We live in a dangerous world. And I fear already the arms race has begun. Even with this deal with Iran, Saudi Arabia, and virtually every other country in the Middle East, I think has learned a lesson. If they develop nukes, they'll at least get a partial deal like Iran got. And yet, what was the alternative? It's not easy to bomb the plants. Several of them, or one of them's in a mountain. You got to bust up an entire mountain near a holy city. Well, if we have to, we have to, and we don't have to yet. And maybe this deal will keep us from ever having to go to war with Iran. And if that happens, this truly is a good deal. But we have to be vigilant. And this is not a message for President Obama. This is a message for President Obama's successor. Watch carefully. Verify carefully. And this will indeed be a good deal. This is Mark Levine. Follow me on Twitter at Mark Levine Talk. My website's marklevinetalk.com. I'll be on handy tonight. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.